Agenda item number 8, Croxton, Croxton, and Croxton LLC.
Easy for you to say. We're going to go across the river. Croxton, Croxton, that should be N, like 3, not 7. Croxton LLC is requesting authorization to install 204-foot long by 8-foot wide floating pier with 12 32-foot long by 4-foot wide finger piers, and install two 30-foot long by 4-foot wide piers to create a total of 24 transient slips. They also want to construct a 162-foot long fixed and floating wave attenuator with an additional 70 feet of riprap breakwater repair, construct 510 linear feet of vinyl sheet pile replacement bulkhead, a maximum of 2 feet channel ward of an existing timber bulkhead, and that also will include the filling of 289 square feet of state-owned bottom adjacent to their commercial facility on Lockleys Creek at 784 Lockleys Creek Road in Middlesex. The applicants have requested that the commission review the staff recommended royalty for the filling of an encroachment over the state-owned subaqueous lands resulting from this proposal. So a lot going on. I'll go a little slower. Hopefully I gained a little time on that last one. Okay, we've gone across the river, out of Carter Creek, under the Norris Bridge, and down inside Parrot Island to Lockleys Creek. This is the Croxton, Croxton, and Croxton parcel, which currently consists of Marar, which is a tasting room, and Rappahannock Oyster Company, also Rappahannock River Oyster Company. I never know which one you guys are. Rappahannock Oyster Company. Either way. This was the old Lockleys Marina. You can see in this photograph, which is relatively recent, remnants of some of the old marina. This next photograph is a little more recent. Again, you can see those remnants. This is the old wave screen, wave attenuator. This is subsequent to what was Croxton. In 13407 and 150031, the Croxton brothers received permits for this portion of their facility. This is their floating upweller for their aquaculture facility. This used to be open pile decking with slips. They've decked over it. They added a roof. So all of this is subject of prior permits, of which this current proposal is not associated. Now they're proposing to redevelop the marina facility into a 24-slip, totally transient use marina for which they've received the federally funded boating infrastructure grant. Big money. The old marina was destroyed in both Hurricane Isabel and Tropical Storm Ernesto and is currently only being used for the Rappahannock Oyster Company with no slip rentals to the general public. It's my understanding that this is all of these are associated with their aquaculture facility, not with the Marar tasting room and not with, you know, the marina. Just of note, this is the adjacent county pier where headboats have been using this facility for years. In conjunction with their prior permits for this section here, the Croxtons did remove some derelict structures out in this area that was also associated with the old Lockleys Marina. A large pier came off of this way and came down, you'll see in a future photograph. But there's still a fair amount of remnant derelict structures adjacent to their facility that have been the subject of much discussion. The big grant is provides services and amenities, including dedicated transient slips, ADA-compliant docking and sanitary facilities, access to local attractions in the lower Rappahannock River, and a safe harbor and refuge for the boating public. The applicants have indicated they will remove the remainder of the derelict structures and vessels in the waterway around the facility in the course of the redevelopment. There is currently, I believe, still just one sunken sailboat. A prior sunken vessel, although not their responsibility, has been removed. This sunken vessel is not their responsibility. It's tracked to an older owner who's passed. We can't track down the owner, and there it sits. I'll go through some additional slides here to indicate what they've got going on. If you look at the far right-hand screen, I don't know if dropping the lights would help any or not. Kathy, give it a try. This is the old Lockley's Marina. You can still see this dock is this dock. All of this is gone. This one, gone. So this was all destroyed in the prior storms when the Croxtons acquired the property. These facilities associated with the adjacent property that they acquired falls, as far as staff is concerned, to their responsibility. Like, and the sailboat out here, different. The sailboat is independent of what we believe to be their responsibility for removal or cleanup. So at any rate, what they would like to do, as you see here, install two floating docks, providing a total of three transient slips. They want to fill a corner of this boat ramp so they can move their spat-on shell tank, which is currently in this location, to this side, keeping it away from the marina, the tasting room and the proposed marina activities in this area, a new bulkhead all the way around, and a new dock that will come out this direction. These blue polygons indicate what is to be removed as per their agreement or offering proffer with this current application. This is unfortunately black and white, but it's showing, again for reference, their paddle wheel upweller, their aquaculture dock, the proposed new floating dock, 21 slips, two additional small floating docks for a total of three additional slips for 24. Beefing this up, expanding this existing breakwater structure and extending it with a floating wave attenuator. And this corner, that's to signify the spat-on shell tank. I've blown it up a little bit here. Just details of the structure. There's actually a main stem, 204 by 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Eight of these shorter fingers and four of these longer fingers. I may have misrepresented that in my evaluation. There's not actually 12 32-foot. There are 8 32-foot and 4 somewhat longer that they didn't show. I'm assuming they're 40 feet. But in the actual plans, if you look at it, you can find it. Again, from the previous history, this was a breakwater that was both timber and stone. They want to redo that and with a gangway attach a floating wave attenuator, which essentially is the same design as a floating dock, but the floats are double depth, so they offer a little bit more wave protection, a little bit more substantial structure to knock down some of the wave energy coming off of the river. This is a blow-up of the other corner. This is an existing boat ramp. This is to indicate the mean high water line at the ramp, mean low water line at the ramp, and all of this area out to here is to be filled. The Wetlands Board approved the filling of the intertidal concrete boat ramp pad, and they are now asking to fill this 289 square feet of submerged land to create additional upland upon which to set the spat-on shell tank. that they can then bring in their aquaculture boats to transfer the animals. Floating dock, gangway, single slip, floating dock, gangway, two more slips, total of 34. These slips are to be slightly wider and potentially longer than the configuration inside the basin itself. This is proposed, this came in from the applicants. They submitted this additional graphic to show the area that is to be filled. Again, it's a boat ramp currently. This whole area to the outboards, to this northern side of this existing dock, will become a bulkhead and filled to become upland property. And it's noted that the applicants have since acquired this adjacent parcel as well. And you can see Marar, tasting room, some of their tables. Okay, I'm standing on the southeast corner of the property looking due south. This is Regent Point Marina. This is the existing deteriorated, damaged breakwater structure. They would like to deck this over and beef this riprap revetment up out to its terminus and then extend straight out with the floating wave attenuator. It's noted here, this is a fixed wave screen that was permitted and installed by Regent Point subsequent to Hurricane Isabel and some other storms to offer protection to the moorings inside Lockley's Creek there. Now I've turned 90 degrees, looking down the bulkhead that will be replaced 2 feet channelward with vinyl. This is part of their aquaculture facility going out on the old existing dock that's been improved with the permit. Now I've turned again, looking down the other face of the bulkhead. They want to install a new bulkhead along this face as well. These are intakes for the spout-on shell tank. It's my understanding, I believe. Again, here's the tank, off-season. This is not a mooring pier. This is just, they don't tie up boats here. These are remnants of the old pier that are to be removed upon installation of the new structure, should they be permitted. Again, here's the boat ramp. So what is proposed is a bulkhead to come off of this point here on the outboard side of this old deteriorated dock, and all of this area, both upland, intertidal, and subtidal, will be filled to create upland for the spout-on shell tank. Just another look at the intertidal habitat that the Wetlands Board authorized the filling of, and the subtidal habitat that is proposed to be filled. A final aerial that I took not so long ago, looking south again, the existing aquaculture pier and facilities. The breakwater will go out in this direction. All of this is to be removed. The new T-head dock will be here. Two new piers along here for transient boats, and the filling of this small area as well as the replacement bulkhead. Okay, Kathy. Thank you. We've completed our public interest review. There has been no objection. We actually have a letter of support from an owner across the creek and further up. Actually, it shows in this photograph. Mr. Wassum owns Regent, he and his wife. And his letter is in the file, but he is in support of the proposal. It's my understanding that the Croxtons have an agreement with Regent Point to use their sanitary pump out, as they are not proposing any pump out facilities for vessels. They are improving their upland sanitary facilities for those transient boaters. The health department, both shellfish sanitation and Marina Bureau of Wastewater Engineering, have found the proposal to be acceptable. It's not going to add to any, it's not going to cause any change in shellfish growing waters. Indeed, water quality is kind of important to them. It's also noted this is actually the VIMS hatchery. So there's a lot going on Lockley's Creek. But our review didn't turn up any opposition to this project whatsoever. Accordingly, find it the proposal to be a reasonable and acceptable use of state-owned bottomlands, and we support approval of the permit. However, there's a substantial amount of encroachment over the public lands of the Commonwealth associated with this project, both encroachment upon and filling thereof, loss of those bottomlands, those public lands. And I have calculated, staff has calculated out 18,206 square feet total, and I have a breakdown on the next slide, but that's why we're here today. The proposed staff proposed normal recommended royalty in keeping with all past commission projects like this since 2005 has come up with a figure that we believe is required for this. The Croctons indicate, Croctons are claiming that they are exempt under the code section that talks about port facilities. And in his comment, they believe that they qualify as a riparian owner of commercial facilities providing services relating to the shipping of domestic or foreign cargo in that they ship oysters domestically and internationally, it's my understanding. We believe that the current request is separate from all that. They're asking for a marina. Yes, it's the same parcel, but the money that was granted for the boating infrastructure grant was for transient use marina facility and is not tied to their aquaculture operation in this case. So let me, this is what I came up with working from those drawings as far as the encroachment. The 1,309 square feet includes both the 2-foot encroachment of the bulkhead, around 510 feet, and the 289 square feet at the boat ramp. The 18,168 square feet at $1 a square foot is for the bold outline of the piers and the slips that will be encumbered by the proposed structures, coming up with a grand total of 22,095. I want to make sure I'm touching on it without reading it verbatim. The applicants also believe that it should be considered. Sorry. It should be considered that the former Lockley's Marina consisted of all of this, and that is no longer the case. And in fact, on their drawing, they offer this line in the sand, if you will, the line in the water of where the old docks were, and they contend, and it also goes out this way into this polygon. So these two large polygons here are no longer being encroached upon by Lockley's Marina. And they believe that this represents an overall reduction of what was once there prior to their acquiring the property, and they should be considered for some credit. I may not be wording it properly, but trade-off. If Randy were here, he would have done a much more artistic job of this, but this is my attempt to calculate the bold outline of the proposed piers. I didn't bother with the 2 feet by 510 for the fill. And the boat ramp, it's, their numbers were 289 square feet, and I verified that. But as far as the floating docks, the structures themselves, and the slips, the bold outline, this is the math I came up with. I've shared this with the Croxtons. I did not hear back from them. As far as I know, it's either the numbers have been accepted, whether or not the anything else has been accepted, I don't know. Again, along here, we're not charging for any additional working of this rock. Staff has never really charged for a rock, whether it be a breakwater, rock in front of a bulkhead. It still provides subaqueous habitat. It's not a loss of habitat. This decking over top of the old is like any other decking. This floating dock, while it's no slips associated, not floating dock, sorry, wave attenuator, along here is, again, square footage of just that structure, which is 80 feet long by 8 feet wide. So this is how the numbers shake out. Did the same thing over here, knowing that one day this might be a wider boat, or it might be a longer boat, or there might not be a boat. But with a bold outline, this is a proposed to be a slip with a pier. And this is proposed to be a, I'm sorry, a pier with a slip. This is proposed to be a pier with two slips of the 24. So those are how the numbers work out. With all that said, after evaluating all the merits of the project and careful consideration of all the factors in 28.2.12.05, staff does find the proposal to be reasonable and permissible use of state-owned public submerged lands and recommends approval of the project as proposed. However, we are recommending the royalty in the total amount of $20,113 as broken down in that previous slide. VIMS, during their comments, also asked, and we believe it to be reasonable, there's a standard permit condition that all applicants notify us, all permittees notify us within 15 days of commencing construction of a project. VIMS further asked if it would be reasonable to provide 3 days' notice to VIMS and to us so we can notify the hatchery that, you know, they're getting going soon, and actually they're getting going on Monday. And we would like to include that as a special permit condition over and above the standard condition of the 15-day notice. That's all I have. I hope I've made it somewhat clear, but I'm certainly willing to try to further clarify.
Thank you, Jay. Questions from the commission? Mr. Ballard.
The notification to the VIMS hatchery 3 days prior, that's in addition to 15-day notification to whom?
To the VMRC staff.
Okay.
The permit, in the permit document, the third page has some standard. There's a placard we send out that has been posted. And in addition to whatever special conditions are added, there's a 15-day requirement that people notify us. A lot of times we issue a permit today and they don't start work for 3 years or before 3 years. So that's a standard condition, but when VIMS asked us in view of the activity, water quality concerns, and we don't believe that Croxtons will have an issue with that, I have a feeling that Croxtons talk to VIMS more than we do as far as the hatchery stuff goes. So that, yes, it would be in addition to the standard 15-day notification.
Other questions? Mr. Zedor.
The exemption that they were talking about, what are the standard commercial businesses that we have recognized an exemption for?
I don't have the code in front of me, but there's essentially three. One is for boat sales and service. One is for port facilities, which is what they're claiming, and the other is for shipyards.
Right, so like Newport News Shipbuilding and Dry Dock, or Norfolk Shipbuilding and Dry Dock, those are the kind of
Port Authority, yeah.
Right, those are the kind of ones that we see right now, right?
Correct. We and on a smaller scale, we have Mr. Across the way at Regent Point. Regent Point has a travel lift, and they do boat repair, they do boat service, and when they recently got a permit to install a new travel lift facility, they were exempt from the encroachment royalties. There were some dredging royalties that they were not exempt from, but they are Regent Point boats, sales, and service.
And this particular application is just really for just a plain marina, right?
My understanding is the boating infrastructure grant is for transient use boat facilities, boating facilities.
I'd like to say something in addition.
Mr. Zeter.
I want to commend staff for an excellent job on a difficult project. I think this is a good example of how well our staff works with commercial industry. This is a lot to put this project together and make sure it comes out like you recommend. So I want to commend our staff for doing such a great job working with these commercial interests.
Thank you. On behalf of all the staff, thank you.
Mr. Erskine.
Yeah, I just had a question. You had mentioned that Shellfish Sanitation was contacted about the application, and they didn't have any it wouldn't change any classification, I guess. And I would imagine it's seasonally condemned because of the marina across the creek. And then Lockley's going up there, I'm sure. Well, I would presume that it's condemned. I should say restricted. And I would share VIMS's concern about their hatchery, the Kauffman Center, across there, for water quality issues. I'm wondering if there's a time of year restriction. You said they're getting ready to do the work in 3 days. Would there be a time of year?
Well, I was using that as an example. Prior to, should the permit be issued, prior to their going to work, which will frankly require removal of the derelict structures probably before anything.
Right.
And I had asked whether or not they intend to pull the piles or to cut them at the mud line, because there's – let me – bear with me, if you will. The majority of this stuff, I believe, is salt-treated. Mm-hmm. I would not be surprised if there's creosote materials in there. Mm-hmm. As you well know, when you pull creosote piles out of the bottom, there's a sheen. We did not – recommend a boom or anything around that, but that was the intent. Even though there's no dredging, there will be some bottom disturbance, both in the removal of the existing structures and in the driving of the new piles. And none of the agencies had made a recommendation that there be a time of year restriction. Of note, Mr. Wagner, not that I get to know these guys real well. Regent Point across the way, with their new permit to install a travel lift right up against the VIMS hatchery, has a time of year restriction for their dredging. We did put that because it's a messy business. And that was part of our review of that file, was a recommendation for a time of year restriction to minimize water quality impacts specifically to VIMS hatchery and in general to the creek.
Thank you.
Further questions from the commission? Thank you, Jay.
You're welcome.
The applicants present or represented? Please come forward, gentlemen. So let me swear you all in at the same time. Please raise your right hands. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Please take your names into the microphone for the record.
Travis Croxton.
Scott Croxton.
Ryan Croxton.
Terrific. Thank you. Gentlemen.
It's Croxton. Yeah.
I'm in the other order.
LLC.
Oh, is it the other order? I kept trying to figure that out. Let me start this up.
They have brought a presentation that I'm going to attempt to.
I need this one as well.
I need that one as well. I'll just minimize. Wait a second.
So it's going to be actually Scott. Talking?
Scott.
Scott.
devices ready to use.
Thank you, Board, for taking the time to hear us today, and thank you, Jay, and the rest of the staff, Mr. Woodward, for the great. It was an enormous amount of work to put together a lot of moving parts to this presentation and this proposal, and we do appreciate their support. I think I heard Mr. Woodward establish that from the staff perspective, and if, let me share with you, please, the specific. Verbiage from the state code as far as the exemption that we are claiming, and it is repairing owners of commercial facilities providing services relating to the shipping of domestic or foreign cargo. So I think a more applicable example would be like Norfolk International Terminals, where goods come and go by ship and then are transferred to truck and vice versa. And it is our position that we do exactly that. Oysters come in by boat, they leave by truck, and vice versa. In this picture right here, we do not have any. There we go. Right there, every one of those boats, 100% of those boats happen to be wild growers that come. So we receive oysters by boats of wild growers that come during the season when the public grounds are open, as well as co-op growers. And so those are very much transient. It's amazing they were caught in that picture, but because they're just parked there very much in a transient fashion to load, unload. So and a little bit more information about the big grant. It is a federal matching grant. Assuming you guys are familiar with it somewhat, it is a federal matching grant. So you know what that means, but it all that is funded is these first seven slips, the wave attenuator, and the demolition. So nothing else is funded or budgeted. The remaining slips, the remaining 17 slips, the entire bulkheading project, and everything is what we hope to do before this permit expires. So it's not budgeted or funded by the grant. The grant does restrict use to transient boaters, but loading and offloading and use by the commercial fishermen, the wild growers, and the co-ops, that is not a prohibited use of the slips, okay, long as it's transient. And transient is defined as 15 days or less. So we just think it's relevant that it will absolutely be. We didn't pitch it that way because that would be somewhat self-serving, but it will actually be used for that as well. The bulkhead, we believe, is 100, and I'm speaking right now from our perspective directly to the exemption issue. The bulkhead and the fill here, we believe, are 100% to preserve the property, which supports the shipping of cargo, domestic and international. The wave attenuator, again, we didn't pitch it that way, but it absolutely protects the harbor. You know, there's each season about 10 million seed in there that we're protecting. All the property owners along the west side of this wave attenuator and the entire harbor, and then the wave attenuation characteristics of the dock all protect the seed, which is you know, certainly directly related to the shipping of oysters. Mm-hmm. So in addition to protecting the boat slips themselves. So we believe that the bulkheading, the wave attenuation, this breakwater wall and the decking up on top of it is exactly as it used to be. So we're rebuilding it exactly back like it used to be. We believe that is all directly related to the shipping of cargo, and we believe to a lesser degree that this dock is related as well. Not just pure, it's not a traditional marina. It's going to be 100% transient use. We don't plan on charging any fees. It's going to be for a variety of people to come and park, use, and then leave. In one of the earlier hearings, I heard a comment about if boats aren't parked in a slip, does that receive any different consideration regarding encroachment? I just heard that in a previous one of the previous projects we were looking at. And
do you want to address that now?
I don't know if that's relevant.
Let's address that now and then move
okay.
and then move
Jay
forward.
Jay mentioned with the last yacht club facility that it'd be in a transient dock, meaning boats are coming and going all the time. I think a better term for that dock, for the Rappahannock Yacht Club, would have been temporary. Boats temporarily come there while the kids are sailing tied up under the line of sail. Transient, in this case, means transient boaters that might come to the Mirawa facility or to the company and stay overnight or stay up to 15 days.
Right.
So the big grant is specifically dedicated to that clientele of boaters who travel up and down the waterway and need a spot to stay for a period of time. So I think terminology might have been overlapping there, but the intent was more temporary at the Rappahannock facility and more transient.
Okay. That makes sense. Thank you. Thank you for that. But to my point, we don't anticipate the picture to ever look like that, except maybe during a busy Saturday between Memorial Day and Labor Day, you know, that it would actually look like that as far as actual boats parked in those slips, blocking sunlight from the subquenous bottom. The rest of the spots will be used very much in a transit. We don't anticipate. We're only in our wildest dreams planning on outfitting the last four of these slips with utilities. So we're not encouraging by any stretch any type of overnight use. It's permitted. I think we'll facilitate it in the future if there seems to be a demand, but only on a very limited basis. So just very much day use, transient, a few hours at a time is what we anticipate, plus the commercial fishermen loading and offloading oysters. That is one main thing. I will point out that regarding the exemption, we did not know about the exemption when we applied for 15031, but we believe this entire facility should have been exempt. However, we didn't know about it, wasn't brought to our attention, our agent didn't research it, and we paid $4,600 worth of royalties on that project. I've talked about how related the bulkheading, the wave attenuation, and the dock we believe are to the project and to the shipping of cargo. So if a full exemption is not granted, we believe there's room for a partial exemption on the square footage of each of those facilities. And I'll point out that there's a sunken boat right here that if the commission cannot use the funds that are put in the fund or put in the fund to remove derelict boats whose owners are not known, and we're forced to do that at our expense, which is okay. The lowest estimate we've gotten on that is $8,000, upward between $8,000 and $10,000. So that would effectively be paying a royalty to have that boat removed. When this was permitted, we were, as a requirement for that permit, we were forced to remove all the derelict pilings from this old dock out here. Before we would have otherwise. We absolutely want to remove them, but there's economies of scale to have waited until we were going to do the demolition on this project to have done that. But we had to do that separately, which ended up making it cost more. And that was another $5,000 expense that we weren't planning for at the time. If I can move on to so this is the blue, as Mr. Woodward pointed out, the blue is the exact footprint, to scale of the old water lot. And draw your attention to, this is prior to Hurricane Isabel. There you can count up to 70 slips that were there back in the day. Quite an encroachment that we don't seek to restore, couldn't afford to, and just have no desire to. But I'll focus you on this area right here is what's represented right here. And that water lot to scale is 52,665 square foot. If you subtract out the existing dock that is here that we did pay royalties for, that's 6,000 square feet. By Mr. Woodward's calculations, which I don't disagree with the calculations and or how they're derived, I just disagree with whether or not they should be exempt. But those, we're proposing 15,710 square foot within this portion of the water lot. and 540 feet of fill. A comment about the fill, I think you're allowed to go up to 2 feet, but we don't intend to go. We want to make the new wall just as close to the old wall as possible, but the encroachment calculation was based on going the full 2 feet, you know, around the entire perimeter, and some of the perimeter is even upland. It's above the tidal water line. So, but if you conservatively estimate all those, then whether or not you calculate or in this configuration, I believe by the calculation methods now, you would have to call that a fairway, and you would charge for it now. Is that right? I'm sorry.
We, and Tony, jump in anytime. We historically, before 2005, we charged for the footprint of the structure. And if there were slips, didn't matter. We charge for the footprint of the structure. Now, has been the case for over 10 years, we charge for the bold outline of the structure, where it's reasonable to assume boats are either going to be tied up or using. Never charged for fairway, as far as I know. You know, what is being called the water lot line, that's something that, you know, we didn't create that line. That's a line that you drew on there. So I guess just to clarify what we are recommending a royalty for is the structure and the slips attached to those structures, because they are slips. This is a transient dock. This is not a dock where you just tend your boat and there's mooring. That's what the big grant was for. So, and I could go back to my drawing, but the fairway, I don't know about the fairway. Unless there's two docks so close to each other that that's about the best I can say. And Tony, without saying any more.
I think Jake covered it. The fairway issue would be the space between the docks that have the slips. Just to reiterate what Jay said relative to the year 2005, prior to that, commission was not assessing royalties based on the moratorium that was placed on it. General Assembly acted and approved authority to reassess royalties again. And the commission adopted a schedule at a time of royalty rates. And one thing that royalty rate included was based on the Habitat Management Advisory Committee recommendation was that it include the bold outline of the pier area where there would be slips. And that was what we captured here in JE's drawing based on the application. It wasn't the fairway between the piers.
Just to drive that point home, the royalty does not include calculations for the fairway.
If I may? Yep, thank you.
And I'm not contending that it does. I think we're getting a little bit.
Okay.
What I intended to do here, to the best of my ability, was to encapsulate the structure. This is the gangway. The structure in green. These are all boats. I added a little polygon here because these are bigger slips. Here I didn't go outboard of the structure because no slips. Could you tie a boat up there? Sure. But that's not one of the 24 slips that they're proposing.
Right.
Likewise, I didn't draw a polygon on this side. If you can do it here, I guess you could do it there. But that's not what was proposed. I did my calculations based on the proposal, to the best of my ability.
Okay. Let me try again. The point I'm trying to make, and I do not dispute the calculations whatsoever. I think I said that earlier. I have no issue. The point I'm trying to make is in a long history of the royalties in Virginia that Mr. Woodward sent me middle of last week, it showed examples of if we were proposing two of these side by side, in between them would be a fairway, and it would be calculated as a loss of state bottom. That's the point I'm trying to make, okay? So go back to the old drawing. The point I'm trying to make is that if we were today proposing this configuration, you would measure the square footage of the whole thing. That's the only point I'm trying to make. And if that were the case, that would equal this, and which is 52,665 square feet. That's the only point I'm trying to make. So no matter how you calculate it, whether you include the fairway or whether you don't, we are giving back in just this portion of the what existing, pre-existing versus what we're proposing, between 30,415 square feet to 4,000 square feet on the upper and lower end. And if you look to the river side, same consideration. On the new calculations, if we were proposing this, they would count the fairway because there's slips on both ends. No one can use the middle, according to what Mr. Woodward sent me last week. So whether you count it or whether you don't count it, we're giving back between 10,000 and 22,000 square foot that we're no longer going to use and giving back to the state. So we think that's an improvement. So closing statement is we would request that you acknowledge the exemption, that it does apply to our shipping of foreign and domestic oysters. It is a water-dependent shipping facility. And we would additionally request that you acknowledge that we're giving back a considerable amount of state-owned bottom and that we've paid royalties in the past and that we're going to effectively have to pay royalties in the future to get a derelict boat up. And we think they're about equal. I can outline the cost either offline or now if you want, but the amount of dollars for the different components of the structure, the cost to get the boat up, the royalties paid in the past that we contend should not have been are about equal to the royalties that the staff is proposing we pay now. That's a lot. I'm sorry.
I think we got it.
Okay.
But I suspect there are some questions. Mr. Zedron has one.
Are you saying that you guys paid royalties for those fairways? You people.
No, sir. We do not have record of we have personally not paid royalties for those fairways. No, sir. They were just permitted under whatever the rules were and the royalty considerations were at the time by the previous owners.
And did you talk about the old existing structures there. I mean, that's something that the previous owner had. You really didn't have any of that.
No, sir. Right. They constructed those under whatever guidelines were in place at the time.
So what's your theory of that you're giving that back to the state if you never owned it? If you had a permit to build that out, that's one thing, but you don't, right?
No, sir. Presumably, if we, propose to rebuild it and its pre-existing configuration, with royalties or without, presumably we'd be able to reconstruct it.
I guess what I'd argue then is that there's a state assumption that we're responsible for that. So I would equally apply that there should be a state assumption that, it's a give back. We were responsible for getting all the pylons that were derelict out. We're being asked to remove a boat. So these are things that we inherited with the property that, I guess by that point you would be saying are state owned.
But follow that up, though. I mean, these are proffers by you to get that grant, right?
Sorry?
These are proffers that you have made to get the federal grant, isn't that right?
No, sir.
No, not for the grant.
Are you saying that our agency is requiring you to move that sailboat that has nothing to do with the project?
We have received a decent amount of pressure from BMRC over the years to remove that derelict boat, yes.
And it was a proffer to ask to remove all the pylons out in front for the last approval of the pier that extended the orchard.
But it's not a proffer for the grant.
The prior permit was contingent on removing the piers out front that weren't anywhere, nothing associated with that structure that we put in.
And just to be clear, I mean, the intent of this for us is obviously to protect the land for how we use it. But also, we want to see all those derelict structures gone. It's not good for us. It's not good for boat traffic in there. It's not good for anybody. And so we did leverage the big grant as a way to be able to do that. But as you can see, the big grant is only a small portion of this. So the rest of this is going to be coming out of pocket, and the big grant is a matching grant to begin with. So I don't want to get misled that this is just all federal money that's paying for all this, and there's no skin in the game.
It's not big money, as we heard earlier. Yeah. It's coming out of our pocket.
Right, and it's paying for about 15% of this project. So.
And I think it's fair to know, I mean, if we can assume that we do apply for the exemption if we are an oyster company doing interstate, then I think we can at least acknowledge that the $4,600 that was paid for the last pier was a miss. and that there is mixed use, at the very least, there's mixed use in the area that we're proposing. I mean, the very corner there is to fill for spout and shell tank. That couldn't be more clear as to what the intended use of that is. The protection of the outer property is obviously for the protection of the property and what goes on there. It is a mixed-use facility, so there is no clear designation for how we're going to, you know.
Thank you. Thank
you. Mr. Tankard.
I'd ask you, want to speak to the grant a little bit. Would you, one, tell me what size grant this thing is, and then when you applied for it, tell me about what you were applying for when you got it.
It is a big Tier 1 grant, which we applied for and received from fiscal year 15, but we didn't receive confirmation or ability to or receive any obligation of funds, is the technical term that the state uses, until this past September. Just a few short months ago, it's quite a delay. And to your other question, what was it? We proposed pretty much everything that's proposed that that is eligible for grant funding, you're allowed to use it. You can use it on, it has to be transient facilities, it has to be non-trailerable boats greater than 26 feet, 100% transient, 15 days or less, and then infrastructure related to that. So bulkheading, anything is eligible. But the size of the initial grant, which is, again, it's 100,000, but it's matching, so we'll put up a good portion of that. It is only going to pay for 7 slips. You know, that's just how far we could stretch it, and the wave attenuation and the demolition. So it's not going to pay for any bulkheading or the balance of the slips.
Mr. Tankard.
So the grant is for transitional slips, not for shipping of cargo, correct?
So the grant was created to increase the availability of transient slips route Chesapeake Bay, actually America, right? So everyone's open
sure to
this. It's evolved, and one of the reasons we were actually selected to receive this is the growth of ecotourism, and that people could come in to our facing facility for launch dock up, watch the oyster operation as it happens all across. I believe all the photos Jay actually showed you was every piece of that property we have, pumps, pipes, something associated with the oyster operation of that facility. So it's a unique acceptance of the grant based on the combination of the mixed usage that we have. So, and it benefits everyone from photo ops to anything else that we've had there, or state of Virginia to increase tax revenue, right?
Thank you.
Ms. Erskine.
Following up on Mr. Tankard's comment, sounds like it's the original intent of the boating infrastructure grant and the project concept, I guess, which I certainly support, is to increase water access to the restaurant facility, not necessarily the commercial aspect. And when I went through Virginia's facilities for marinas and everything, you all, I presume, I think, Scott, you filled this out, it says, did not highlight commercial activity. Specifically on page 3, it's recreational activity, and it would be for the small vessels coming in recreationally, which coincides, I guess, with what Mr. Tanger was saying about the transient aspect of coming in there to further service the restaurant, not necessarily the offloading of commercial cargo.
That is what we pitched in the applications to secure the grant. That is certainly what we pitched because the criteria was, you know, show us how this is going to increase economic impact to your locality and your broader region. So that's why we pitched it that way. But it's well within the criteria of the big grant and the use of the funds to use the facility for commercial fishermen to come and offload product.
A follow-up, sir. I just want to be clear. I'm not saying that's an inappropriate use of the grant. I think it's terrific. I'm speaking more to the exemption concept of the royalty and everything. I think
I think there's confusion when you're trying to merge in the grant, which was outside of here, with their request to construct these facilities. Without the grant, we would do this ourselves anyway within 5 years. We're trying to speed it up, leveraging Thank God. You've written many proposals for grants, I'm sure, right? Trying to marry a couple things. Also, the state's requested, they're actually on the hook, but requested us to, you know, be in everyone's best interest to get up to Pylons. We're trying to be really good stewards for the state by merging this all. That's all we're asking. Why not take care of all this at the same time and resolve all these issues?
Thank you.
Mr. Hall, you have a couple legal questions.
Yes.
Yeah, legal related questions.
What services do you provide to people who are offloading oysters at your facility?
Several. We have co-opers that actually unload directly to us for their livelihoods. We have, when the grounds open right there off the Rappahannock, we will have up to 20, 30 commercial watermen tie up for their daily unloading, loading. There's a couple of seafood buyers, not us, but others that will load back their trucks in to receive these things, the oysters. There's also sometimes commercial fishermen outside of oyster, but fish. So it's mm-hmm. it's everything. The beauty of it is, and the reason that we call it mixed usage is, you know, with our requirements, right, we finish harvesting by 10 a.m., and then we continue with husbandry, work, or whatever else. And then at 11:30, the restaurant opens for lunch. You get to use the facility multiple ways.
So do either the fishermen or the buyers pay you for what you provide?
We don't charge any cross-dock. We offer that as a free service. And actually, the county, which probably should have had to write something, but they are considering eventually moving that where you saw three water boats tied up. We're talking about decommissioning that, and we told them we would gladly take over at no charge those watermen at that time at our facility through this.
Okay. But all the fishermen do their own unloading?
Correct.
Okay.
Except for the ones that we work with. So there are some fishermen that we work with.
So if you buy it, you do it then? Okay. Gotcha. All right. That's all I have. Thanks.
Are there other questions from the commission? Mrs. Cohen.
I've got a question, I guess, for Tony or for staff. My concern would be if we exempted this application from paying any royalties, would they be required to use this as a commercial business for X number of years, or what if this went up for sale next year as a marina?
Well, we have a lot of kids to pay for college. I don't think we intend to close up shop anytime soon.
So if that were a requirement.
Tony, if you could answer that question. And then I have a follow-up.
In this case, the facility that we're looking at is for the transit use of vessels. And you asked the question about could it be sold in the future and become a marina. I mean, I guess it could be and change their use. I would assume there's probably some caveats in the grant that dictate how long you have to maintain it for a particular period of time to get those funds to use it as a transit facility. So in this case, you know, we view this proposal for the marina and the bulkhead as supporting the operation that's more akin to the marina at this facility. And as a result, we didn't think it met the requirements of the exemption for transient facility or facilities engaged in the shipping of domestic and foreign cargo. In fact, you know, looking at that exemption, we've applied that to facilities where ships come and go. And I say ships, we've typically applied that in areas of Hampton Roads where you have a shipping grain or other commodities in and out of the country. Ships are loaded and unloaded to come and go. We didn't see this facility matching that use, and as a result, we didn't think that definition applied. But in addition to that, you've got a separate component here, which is the pier facilities that they're proposing to support boats coming and going. People come to the restaurant or the tasting room, or people that want to tie up for a period of time overnight as they transient through the area. And so we felt that it did not meet the exemption as a result of that use.
Mr. Pellet, could I ask a question? Because I think it goes right in line to this. Tony, we have residential pier permits. We have commercial pier permits, correct?
We have residential, meaning like homeowners?
Yes,
that's
non-commercial.
That's correct.
What activities are authorized for commercial pier?
In commercial, we usually refer to that as a facility like this where boats are coming and going to use the amenities at the restaurant or the tasting room, or they tie up and pay a fee to moor there for an extended period of time, or it's a marina where they tie up and pay a fee for the year or by the month.
And it's a commercial venture for those piers in that there's financial considerations.
Add value to the property. And in addition to those concepts where it's like a documentium or a dock club where they're adding some value to the use of their upland facility, the piers are also deemed to be commercial and require royalties.
That's what I was going to ask. Those require royalties as well.
That's
because
correct.
It's the commercial use of the water bottoms for financial gain, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Mr. Ballard, you had a question.
On a similar note, if this were just a commercial pier that oyster boats, fish boats were coming, offloading Menchville Marina, I believe we did a project for them a couple months ago. Do you recall, was that subject to a royalty?
I would suspect it would based on the, I don't recall specifically.
Right.
But we have viewed this exemption to apply for those facilities that are engaged in shipping cargo, and it's coming and going, you know, loading and unloading and facilities for that purpose. We hadn't applied this to a dock at a seafood landing or where there was an agriculture facility and they're just unloading product to sell. It wasn't much shipping at the dock. It wasn't facilitating the shipping.
Right.
Any further questions from the commission? Gentlemen, what do you want to add to this?
I have a follow-on answer to Mrs. Kellum and then a kind of a final point. Within the requirements of the big grant, you do have to permanently record in the deed of the property that big funds were used to build out this infrastructure, and it has to be for the useful life of the infrastructure, so it's protected that it will be used for that no matter who owns it, and that's for at least 25 years.
Mr. Hill?
And I understand that, but that would be for the recreational side of it, and you're asking to be exempt for the commercial side of it. So that's where my question came in.
I thought your question was centered around, you know, would the use of these facilities, you know, be perpetuated, you know, for any length of time? So I was just trying to answer that. We just don't see how the example of a larger shipping facility where cargo comes in, we don't know of anywhere it comes in by ship and leaves by ship. You know, go ship to ship. It normally is transferred to trucks or rail or something else, you know, some kind of intermodal transfer. And if you break it down, we're doing the exact same thing. It's what our contention is.
Yeah, but Mr. Croxton, from my perspective, here, anybody that unloads dozen bushels of oysters, by your definition, and they are destined for export anywhere, they would therefore qualify for this cargo shipping exemption.
Yeah, I'd argue that. I mean, that's in the regulations, and it was written just because no one else has taken advantage of what's happening.
So you're flat out acknowledging setting a significant precedent here with what you're requesting.
I would say they would have to also own the marina and be submitting a project, right? So I don't think that's a lot of.
And out of this facility, we ship direct, obviously UPS, FedEx, we ship direct by truck, we ship direct by airplane.
Commercial activity.
So do others.
Yeah. Well, we're saying it fits what's in the regulation. The commercial activity that we have in there is
I'll grant you this. It's a very creative argument, and it's some really out-of-the-box thinking.
Just read it, and it just jumped out at me, sir.
Well, and I would also add that on balance, I mean, I believe in looking at the history of this fund, this royalty fund was created for the benefit of oyster restoration and yet also removing derelict structures and derelict boats, both of which we obviously contribute largely to. So of oysters, you know, we have at least over 2 million diploid oysters which are reproducing back out of the wild, not to speak of our triploid oysters, which are filter capacity. But as far as the, we're talking about also offering to remove an $8,000 boat as well as a ton of derelict pier. So I know it's nuanced, and I know we're worried more about precedent. I think the exception needs to kind of be viewed on whole rather than as a single issue precedent. So I think that's the key. Okay.
No, I understand your arguments now.
Not trying to set a precedent. Okay.
Mr. Erskine?
Can I just ask staff for a clarification? I've heard a couple times about the sunken boat that's there. Is that actually a requirement? Are you suggesting it's a requirement of the permit?
In this case, no. It's not a requirement. That vessel sank, I guess, in one of the previous storms. The owner of that vessel has since deceased. There's no known owner or heir that it has to, that we're aware of. And as a result, there's no one to go after to make them remove it. Short of some public funds being used to remove it, the Croxtons have proposed removing it because it facilitates use of
access.
The facility.
Right.
It's up to them that they want to do that.
Well, we've also been asked quite often by VMRC.
It's verbal, but.
Ms. Woodward?
As I was the one speaking.
I have also made a comment to that regard as well, which I will. I've also made a comment to that regard that I'll confess to as well.
Years ago.
But I'll caveat that in a minute. Please, Mr. Woodward.
Years ago, when the Croxtons applied for the work on the aquaculture pier, we discussed all of the derelict structures associated with Lockley's Marina that they now own. The marina, the upland parcel. The boat was always separate. Our law enforcement did the due diligence to try to find the owner of that vessel. We could not. I suggested, and I want that to be abundantly clear, that if they wanted to proffer, if you will, removal of the boat would help. As far as I read the code, and I'm certainly not going to, there is a requirement in state code that the owner of derelict structures and associated with their marinas, they're supposed to be removed. Now, I don't know that we enforced that. We asked them or made it a permit condition on these materials out here that are sort of in the river part, you know, the very mouth, that all of the boats coming into Lockley's Creek have to go around. We asked them to remove those structures as a condition of this permit, thinking at the time, and, you know, again, Tony's standing right there, if I misspeak, but it was our contention, staff's contention, was they're responsible for that. They bought this. They bought the marina. The marina used to be out here and out here, and there were a lot of structures, and we felt, the staff felt, that not only should they be removed, the law requires it. Now, we didn't come down as a violation and show cause and all that, and I'm saying too much, but the sailboat, there were two, if I recall, the sailboat, I told them, I know that's not your responsibility, but it would be a good neighbor to go ahead and get that up when you're out there anyway. So I did not direct them to remove it. I encouraged them, and I said, to be a good neighbor, it might not be a bad idea.
And I apologize if it sounded like we weren't complying with coercion.
I just want to make the record clear when I...
And for the record as well here, I've also, and I think you've all heard me, voice a sincere wish that somehow that boat out there, that sailboat that's sunken, would no longer be there. That thing has been a plague now for a number of years, and it has upset any number of people. I would very much like to see that removed. Sadly, we're not in a financial position at VMRC to do that. So if you guys want to remove it because it's better for your operation or you don't want to remove it, that's okay. Hopefully our budget picture gets better at some point, although we've had budget cuts here at VMRC 9 out of the last 10 years, so I'm not going to hold my breath, but that'll be for another day. So,
yeah, I think we're just asking, you know, in totality, with the shipping exemption, the give back of tremendous amount of
state-owned bottom,
the
fees we paid 2 years ago is everything else. We'll take the ownership of pulling the boat up. That's actually got the state regulation as if it's a deceased owner and state land that the state actually owns taking up. We're willing to pay for that. In totality, we don't see why, with all those things in place, that the royalties should apply to this operation. I think we're being penalized because of the big grant that we have and failure to look at it like any other shipping facility. But we have operations continuously going on there for international and national transportation of product.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Tank.
How long have you all owned this?
7 years.
7 years.
Other questions from the commission? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
This is a public hearing. Mr. Watkinson?
As we were going through this, I've never.
Do you wish to testify?
I guess so.
Yeah, please.
A number of things came to mind, and I think we've touched on most of those in one form or fashion as you've asked questions and we've commented. But two things that I don't think we've clarified, and one was related to a deduction for the. We did factor into your written evaluation a deduction for royalties paid for the previous marina-type facilities that we could document in our record, and it was for 2,020 square feet of area where the piers are going that we deducted from the square foot total as highlighted in your written evaluation there in terms of the royalty we think is due. The other was they mentioned the 2-foot bulkhead encroachment. My understanding is the 2 feet is what they proposed. He mentioned that, Mr. Croxton mentioned that 2 feet is what's generally accepted. That's generally a sort of engineering practice to go 2 feet in front. It's not always necessary, but based on what we had seen proposed, we were assessing the royalty at a 2-foot encroachment of the bulkhead. If they wanted to revise their drawings and show it specifically at 1 foot, we could reduce that, but right now we're going with the 2 feet that was the maximum they had requested. So just wanted to clarify those two issues and be available for any other questions you might have.
This is a public hearing. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to be heard on this matter? Seeing none, and the public hearing is closed, and the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. I'll start out. Because nobody's raising their hand up here. Gentlemen, I think what you're proposing here is admirable. I think you have an excellent project here. I think you guys do excellent work. But what you're proposing here, from my perspective here, is marina. It's also a place where some folks may drop off oysters for processing and or distribution, but I think at the heart of this, this is a marina. And from a business model, I think it's a wonderful idea. I think the site screams for that. This is a beautiful location. I think the pilings that are out there need to be removed because that's in your best interest. You do not want hazards and navigations to your customers. They're going to be coming here to use this facility. So I don't view this. I think your argument is creative, but I don't think the code is meant to apply this for this mixed use. So to that end, if others on the commission have another way to skin the cat, love to hear it. But I'm in favor of the project, but I'm also in favor of the royalties. So I just put all my cards on the table. Mr. Tankard had his hand up first.
Yeah, I'd certainly applaud anyone who's trying to make money in rural Virginia right now. I mean, it's not an easy thing. And contributing to our oyster population in general is a great thing. In testimony, they mentioned at some point cargo. Same time they began to say oysters. And there are a lot of oysters landed all around the whole Bay watershed. And if we began to talk about interstate cargo as oysters, I would suspect that every marina that wanted to be built on right now would begin to say they had interstate cargo as oysters and shellfish, other shellfish and crabs, fish, et cetera. So I'm afraid I would be in favor of the project, but not in favor of the exemption. Applaud your efforts.
Mr. Zedrin.
I want to applaud the applicant as well as I did the staff. I think it's really a great thing to see. There are people going back and restoring these kind of properties that are great. They're making some money doing it. But, you know, several months ago, I think one of the shipyards had applied to enlarge one of the dry docks or something like that. And I, in fact, raised the issue about how come they didn't have to pay any royalties. And the staff provided me with the research that showed that they were exempt. And part of that was, the reasoning behind that was, is here is a major industry that's employing a lot of people and giving back through taxes and those type of things, as opposed to a more conservative private type of commercial entity. And so when you talk about cargo and things like that, I mean, what jumps into my mind, which probably jumps in most people's mind, is these ships coming out of international terminals, those type of things, big commercial operations, not a small thing. And I echo what my co-commissioner says here. You know, a sale of bushels of oysters is not international cargo, in my view. And as he says, I mean, that's a big industry in Virginia, and you'd almost exempt the whole bay and everything else if we follow that path. So it would be my position to support staff recommendation as it is, and I would so move that we accept staff recommendation to improve this project with the royalties.
Well, for procedural matters here, that's a motion by Mr. Zedrin. Is there a second for at least further discussion?
I'll second it.
Second by Mr. Neal. Let's continue the discussion.
Yes, I'd like to add something to the discussion. Maybe the panel could weigh in on this a little bit. The state or VMRC can't afford to remove this sailboat that's in question here. We don't have the money to do it. Why can't we deduct a little bit from these royalties to help them with the removal of this sailboat that's really not their responsibility?
That's kind of what I was implying when I said if somebody else here can find a way to skin this cat.
The royalties do go to VMRC?
Yeah, they go into the Waterways Improvement Fund.
So the VMRC had the royalties, and they could afford to move the sailboat?
Sadly, the Waterways Improvement Fund is encumbered due to state budget cuts dating back to 2009. It is a fund that is deficit spending, and it is a major financial problem for the agency.
I hate budget.
Yeah, well, I can't say I'm happy with the budget either.
I had it started to be like Lynn Haven Oysters. I had a question for legal counsel. We've heard staff's opinion that royalties apply, and we've heard the applicant's opinion that they are exempt from the royalties. So what's the legal opinion?
I think the ultimate decision is for the commission, but I will say that if you decide that the exemption does not apply, that that is a legally defensible position, because I think the aspect of it that I think that is missing here is the services related to shipping cargo. I mean, they're, you know, offloading oysters that they're buying, but they're not doing the kind of thing like offloading container ships or offloading other ships and getting paid for that service here. So I don't think it's a commercial facility that offers those services. And so I don't really think that it does satisfy the elements of the exemption. But if you decide that it does, that's a legally defensible position as well. And frankly, I wouldn't have to defend it because nobody would be appealing that. So it's ultimately up to you.
Got a question for counsel.
Mr. Zedrin.
It's been suggested here is that now assuming that we approve that the royalty should apply.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a suggestion that we ought to take part of that royalty and sort of give it back to the applicant to move a boat that's not a part of the required application. Right. Would that be an illegal use of the state funds?
I don't believe so, because the commission has discretion in the setting of the amount of the royalty. So you could say, you know, we're giving you a break contingent on doing this work, essentially.
Let me follow up with that. Mm-hmm. It's been discussed here that this boat, sailboat, is not part of this application or
Correct.
Any requirements.
Right.
wouldn't it be proper then for us to take money that's due the commission or this fund that the commission is talking about and make that use that money to remove a boat that we just said we don't have any money to remove the boat for?
Right. The point is that the money, well, you have discretion on setting the amount of money that is due to the commission. So if you wanted to say if you'll remove the boat, then the royalty you'll be assessed is X. If you don't, then it's X plus whatever. You can do that.
Mr. Frantz.
Yes, I heard testimony here today that the removal of the boat would cost about $8,000. And I would just maybe make a friendly amendment to the motion that we could reduce maybe half of that, defer it from those royalties, $4,000 maybe.
Comment?
Can yes. I do a comment? Mr. Neal, please.
I guess my comment is if you're going to go down that route and reduce the royalty by the amount to have them remove the boat, I would do the whole amount. You know, if it's going to be 8,000, I think it was 8 to 10, I think is what their actual statement was, to remove the boat. And if I was going to reduce the royalty, I would reduce the amount to remove the boat. I would not be opposed to that. Of course, it's your amendment.
I'd like to hear from the other commissioners.
Mr. Erskine?
I'll back up a step or two. I don't disagree where we're maybe the board's going with this, but I do draw a bit of a distinction between what's being proposed in this application and the traditional kind of oyster offloading facilities that I'm familiar with. They don't generally have a build-out of all the slips. I believe the application is very justified and appropriate use of subaqueous bottom. I would encourage it 110%. I just think it's for the build-out or the representation of the restaurant and access to that, which is terrific. As far as the offloading of commercial oyster, and I do believe in my eyes it is cargo. I'd be fine with oysters as cargo, but I think it's got a different purpose, I guess, in my mind. I don't know if we had a figure or an estimate, or was that just a ballpark figure of $8,000 to $10,000 to remove the boat, or if we actually have a hard, or you all did a hard estimate on that. So, I mean, I'd certainly feel comfortable, you know, reducing the royalties by that amount if in fact they remove the vessel.
Mr. Ballard.
I would feel comfortable with that as well. I guess out of respect for staff and whoever administers this Waterways Improvement Fund, I wonder whether they should have some input on this, whoever would normally decide is this project appropriate for that fund, because that's essentially what we're doing, is taking royalties that would be coming into the fund and deciding a project. So I would like to hear from whoever would normally make that decision.
Tony, can you help out here?
I think I'll try and put some maybe context on the issue at hand in terms of the amount the royalty should be, recognizing that they are going to encumber an expense for removing that vessel that they've suggested, which they've said they will do, have to do for their to run their business. Just going back to 2005 when the commission adopted a new rent royalty schedule. And it was mentioned by, I think, Mr. Tankard or maybe Mr. Zedron that there was a scale for our royalties. And at that time, the commission approved an adjusted range for this type of facility of 20 cents to $1.75 per square foot and recommended an assessment value of a dollar per square foot for this type of facility. And so that dollar per square foot for the area encumbered, meaning where the slips are as well as the shadow of the pier themselves, is what staff has been utilizing. It's that dollar. But the commission did recognize that there was the opportunity for a range of royalties, I think, for those types of facilities. And they actually have a schedule. It's in your book that shows that range. So if you were to reduce this royalty, it's more in line to me of putting it at a different spot in that range, recognizing the project they have in this situation and the other work that they're going to do to remove that vessel. With regard to removing the vessel, I think that's the exact type of thing we would hope the state would have funds to do if our monies weren't encumbered. I would say, however, that there are other sunken vessels in Virginia. There are other abandoned pilings that no one's really been responsible for. In terms of a program to remove those, I think we would have to prioritize projects to determine which ones would get the available limited funds. Whether or not this one would rise to that level, I don't know. But obviously, it's one that's, you know, been recognized as a bit of a hazard. It may. But we do certainly have a property owner that's willing to take it on themselves to remove it, which I, too, like you all agree, is an excellent opportunity to get that obstruction out of the waterway. So I hope that helped a little bit in terms of your question.
No discussion.
Mr. Zeger.
I just got a little problem with the way we're kind of procedurally dealing with this. I mean, what if the next applicant comes here and says, well, you know, and look at that boat ramp that they got over here. To me, it's kind of a hazard. I mean, the way the pier is or something like that. And so then he comes back and says, well, you know, that's a hazard. Somebody's going to get hurt. So why don't we take some of your royalties and pay us so we can tear that down? How's that any different? And so then we get in a new business here with all the applicants about, well, you know, maybe we need a new boat ramp there because the concrete's cracked. So we'll take and reduce the royalties for this so you put a new boat ramp in. And I don't think that's what we're supposed to be doing. I think, you know, and that's why I think where he's coming up with his per dollar or percent per foot is that if you wanted to make some adjustment, that's what's allowed for in this range, not to say specifically, okay, you remove that boat and you get a deduction for $8,000. So if in staff recommending that amount considers all these factors, then that's what it should be, but not us saying, look, you remove the boat, you get $8,000. That's my point.
Mr. Tanker.
Yes, I'm worried that we're being a bit complicated here. I mean, as they testified, they bought this marina 7 years ago with the pilings that were out front, the kind of demolished boatyard and facility with the sunken boat. So there may have been some discount because of the mess they bought. They've applied for a federal grant with what they have. They've known what they have for 7 years, and they still want to do the marina. If I were doing the marina, I'd want to get every obstruction for coming and going that there would be. I'm sure that's what they're figuring on. I don't think at this point we need to give them something for what I perceive to be normal standard operating way of doing business.
Mr. Fritz, you had your hand up.
Yeah, my only comment would be if they do it, it'll cost $8,000. If we end up doing it, it'll cost $15,000.
Well, there is that.
But I see what Mr. Francis is saying. Don't get me wrong. However, we're getting into waters that we've never been, and I think it's getting too complicated for us, and I like the straightforward proposition that staff has presented us.
I must say that while the concept is a bit tantalizing from my perspective, I also worry about a precedent here. I worry about several precedents, but this particular precedent we're talking about is an arbitrary adjustment of the royalty rent schedule down in order to achieve a related goal. I mean, the precedent could be that everyone that has rent and royalty would start negotiating a lowering of the rent and royalty rate to achieve something else. So it's a precedent that I'm leery to go down, as much as I would dearly love to see that sailboat go away. Mr. Ballard?
Yeah, my question earlier kind of got at, and I feel the same uncomfortableness directing these funds to a specific project as part of this process. I just feel uncomfortable setting that precedent. I do wonder whether it'd be appropriate to offer some sort of advice to staff to relook at that boat and whether with the increase of these funds they view that as an opportunity to remove that boat. But I think it should follow the normal VMRC process for those funds.
Mr. Croxton, question. The project is approved. When do you anticipate construction to begin?
15 days.
From now?
18 days. 3 days for events.
Okay. Thank you.
It's going to jeopardize it, though. This was on the budget before, so we may not.
Okay.
I would argue, too, that the difference, Mr. Neal, is that the vote is a state responsibility. Something on someone's land, like the boat grant, would be the owner's responsibility. So that's the difference, and that's a safer.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Erskine.
Yeah, so I understand, you know, where the commission is kind of going now with the deduction of royalty for removal of boat. I see that as, yeah, that might be in a sticky situation. It might be difficult. But I think staff outlined, you know, a spectrum of royalties that could be commissioned on this application, recognizing that they have a multi, I think they testified, they have a multi-use facility where they're encouraging ecotourism and they're encouraging educational opportunities as well as, you know, a facility that will have transient slips and so on. And I think we want to encourage those kind of uses, especially as Mr. Tankard said, in a rural area where they're providing jobs and, you know, they have this. So I wonder if it's assessed at a dollar per square foot for this royalty that the commission would entertain something, you know, less than that, maybe 75 cents, you know, per square foot based on all the testimony that we've heard.
Mr. Zedra?
I would not want to put that in a motion. I think we can suggest to staff that if they look at the entire project and feel there should be some adjustment, that they do that. But I think if you're requiring them to go back and readjust the royalty, that's no different. You know, an apple is an apple. I mean, no matter how you slice it, it's going to be an apple. And if you're going to say, well, we're not going to really do that, approve that $8,000, but staff, you go back there and figure out how to adjust this royalty to do that. You've done the same thing. I think we're going to just do what we're supposed to do. We just assess the royalty and suggest to staff, look, if you think that's part of the whole development and you want to reassess it or give a credit for it, something like that, then that's up to them. But for us to direct them to do that would be no different than approving $8,000.
Mr. Neal.
Yeah, just a comment. I don't disagree with Mr. Zedron, but to take that our responsibility even farther, that it is also our responsibility to remove that sailboat. I mean, that comes to the state. I mean, that's our responsibility. We just don't have the money to do it. But that falls to us, correct?
I think it likely does ultimately, although the county does have lien authority and can go and remove that vessel and place a lien on the estate if the estate can be identified. The owner is deceased and long deceased. The Marine Police have tried to track him or his heirs down a number of times over most of the last decade to no avail, and the trail is long gone cold. So I see where you're coming from. I will note that it is my great hope in this upcoming budget is that the General Assembly will solve this deficit spending in the Water Waste Improvement Fund problem, and if that's the case, there may be some funds available to do this at some point later this year? He says hopefully.
Right, Jay?
Yep.
Well, let me reset here. We actually have a motion on the table from Mr. Zedron with a second by Mr. Neal here is to accept the staff recommendation in its totality, which I presume includes the additional 3 days to alert VIMS prior to construction.
Yes.
Well, as I hear a substitute motion coming, I'm going to call the question.
There was an amendment offered, right?
It was a friendly amendment.
That was declined.
Oh, was it declined? Okay, sorry.
Yep.
Okay.
Everybody understand the motion? Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes?
No.
No.
Noes by Mr. Franson. I'm sorry, who else? Mr. Minor?
Just.
Chair votes aye. The motion passes 7-2. Your project's approved. I'm sorry, Jeff.
Friendly amendment.
Wasn't accepted.
It was not accepted. So the staff recommendation was the one that passed.